Pelicans are advancing to Las Vegas with a win over Sacramento Kings. Let's talk about it. First took away. That's the best. Extra money's worth. Presented to you by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located at 918 Poydras Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413 if you or someone you know has been involved in an accident. Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. 5, Chaz and Lido tonight. 5, let's just start off with you. Brandon Ingram, probably easily his best game of the year, 30 points, I think 8 rebounds, 6 assists. What'd you see from him tonight?
Looks like a guy that can thrive in this atmosphere. Looked like he was comfortable. Even the threes were there. He was taking them. I think that was a big surprise, even in a big game. I think that's the most telling thing. He didn't go to what was comfortable. He shot the three, knocked down, three? Yeah, he knocked down three of them.
Yep.
Was able to attack the rim. And even still, he was able to shoot the midi. Like, when the game slows down, I think this, like, the playoff atmosphere, right, is, like, tailor-made for Brandon. And SVG was very complimentary of Brandon and his abilities tonight. I saw a potential star, like, right? Like, this is the guy we wish we saw every night. You know, that's the just the mentality of it. We wish we just saw that every night.
Yeah. And Lito, as I pointed out, Brandon goes 3 of 6 from deep, after not even getting up a 3-point attempt the entire game last game. I felt like he was just more aggressive tonight. He looked very confident in not only just his mid-range, but also his 3-point shot as well.
Yeah, Brandon played overall an incredible game. Like you said, his best game of the season. He was to be honest, if there's any critique, I think he took one bad shot. Like that was it. It was one bad shot, and I'm not even really mad at it, because he hadn't had the ball swung back his way in a while. And
yeah,
I felt like Brandon was under control. He was composed. And like Five said, this is a scenario or a setting that he's been in before. Like, you know, he had to win games to get to the playing game. You had to win playing games to get to the playoffs. Like, man, he was great. And I thought he had more than 8 rebounds, which is crazy. But regardless, his rebounding was incredible, dog. Like, he had it on his mind, like, we're not gonna lose this game. Like, and if it goes down, it's go through me. You know what I'm saying? Pause. But like, I'm literally gonna, come on, that's what I do, baby. I'm a professional. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just passing the hell out of the ball, bro. I could say so much, but go ahead on.
Yeah, and Chaz, to Lito's point, rebounding, I thought he got some big rebounds tonight. And then also, I thought he did a really nice job of, when he saw double teams, he got the ball out, and then Pelicans were basically playing advantage. They were playing 4-on-3 basically the whole first half, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a great matchup. For Brian, I think it's a great matchup for the Pelicans in general, because the Kings, so though they a small team, but I thought Brandon was incredible. I missed a lot of the first quarter, but I really liked the 3-point attempts. To me, that's where this game was won. I think you balanced out the Matt game, because the Kings, they decided they're gonna live and die by the three until like Fox later in the game. But you know, in the Pelicans, it's almost a polar opposite of what happened in Chicago. Pelicans got up their shots, knocked them down, and I think the greatest motivator for this game was that
$500,000.
Because I'm too slick. I've been black a long time. I'm too slick for this $500,000. But they'll wipe out your whole last name. So, yo, great game by Brandon. And it's funny, because I just said his best game was against Philly, so now I have to say this is his best game this season.
Yeah, Chris. You know, join the show, obviously, but what did you see from Brandon tonight? We talked about his passing, his rebounding, his playmaking, sharing the basketball. What did you see from him tonight?
He played like a king. I mean, it wasn't Sacramento, but you know, like, it was his best game, of the season. It was a playoff style performance, you know. Sacramento clearly decided that they were going to do whatever they had to surround Zion, especially when he had the ball around the perimeter. And if he caught the ball on the elbow, like, the best Zion looks were going to come at the baseline, and even then they were sending over help. So they were not going to allow Zion to get buckets in the half court. But the difference is between one and the other is that, well, even if you try that same approach with Brandon, when Brandon has, when he's shooting the basketball in the way that he was tonight, he's attempting threes and he's, you know, he's accurate with them and he's making some of the tough shots, and you still don't necessarily have a matchup, I would say, for him consistently, you know, to where Keegan Murray, a second year guy, is your best option for someone like that. Even without getting, I don't think he got to the free throw line a whole bunch. I don't think he got to the rim a whole bunch. He just, he was in one of those groups. He came to play. He rebounded some of the best rebounding you'll ever see from Brandon. Some plays tonight was some, like, there's one in particular. It's one of the best rebounds I ever seen him grab. I think it was an offensive rebound. It was perfectly timed. Yep. It was aggressive. Yep. He went up with two hands, probably got fouled on the way up. Did everything right. The defense was there. The communication was there defensively for him as well. He was in the right spots. He gave, you know, he treated it like it was a must-win game. The motivators are interested. But I don't care, man. They beat an inferior team, which is what I've been saying for about a few months now about this inferior team. But
you have five. Can we talk about it?
Go away.
Herb Jones.
I mean, what else do we have to say about Herb Jones, man?
Come on, is he
the leader? Is he the leader or not? Like, he's following the leader, bro. I mean, he's infectious to a point where, you know, defensively, like, he's guarding Fox, which is very, very difficult. And I thought the key was for him really was not being foul trouble, right? And also allowing, you know, the game to come to him, knock down an early three. Right, that gives you confidence, and then you see him. I think in the second half, he's just getting to the cup at sometimes at will. If you got Kevin Herter, like let's say 2 years ago, Herb Jones isn't even trying to get to the cup. Now it's I'm trying to get to the cup to get to the line. And there was one in particular, like I think the Kings were making a run. Herb gets to the cup, gets fouled, and knocks down two free throws. Like,
yep,
that's a run stopper. It may not be, you know, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, KD, those guys, you know, they can stop runs like that. No, it's understanding who's guarding me. We're not in a rhythm right now. Let me get to the line because I know I'm going to knock down some free throws, get some easy buckets, calm this thing down. I mean, that's what a leader does, man.
Lito, he dunked on the entire city of Sacramento.
Come on.
The entire city.
Light the fucking beam, man. Let's go. Hey, listen.
The red bean.
Listen, man. Shout out to my dog Omar, by the way. Appreciate you, Omar. If y'all need a trainer, go see my guy. Listen, man. I don't know what I can say about her that ain't really been said, bro. Like, he is fucking incredible. We've been calling for him to be the facilitator on this team. He got he had a Draymond Green-esque pass tonight in the first half. He was fucking incredible. I mean, he had 23 tonight?
What did he have? What did he
23.
Yeah, he finished with 23. Bro, 23. Listen, bro. And the thing with Five just said, Herb is literally becoming comfortable with just having a basketball in his hands. And I noticed a couple games ago, when a shot not falling, he started doing what he did tonight. You know what I'm saying? He would up fake, he put the ball on the floor, and he'd go get a layup or he'd go get a foul. All he really did in a way really was just simplify the game for himself. Like, he's not a shooter. He's never going to shoot 40%. But if the shot is falling, he's going to keep shooting it. He was, I think, at one point tonight, he was 1-for-3 from three. And after that, he started putting that bitch on the floor. Like, he was just like, I'm going for it. I'm going to get a layup. He was crashing the glass. I think he had like 6 rebounds and 6 assists.
He had 5 rebounds and 5 assists. And I thought one of the biggest plays was, I think it was in the fourth quarter, they're making their run. Brandon might have missed either a 3-pointer or a mid-range, and Herb actually got the offensive rebound, put it back, and laid it up. And I thought that was kind of like a stopper of momentum right there, that, you know, Sacramento gets the stop. I think they were down like 6 or 4 coming back. And
they were down 5, and he pushed it to 7.
Yep. Yeah. And it was like, what, 3 minutes left with that 5?
Yeah.
Right there. Chaz, more of Herbert Jones. You know, a lot's on the line, but I felt like Herb was really vocal tonight. You know, he doesn't really show emotions. I felt like tonight he was pretty animated and to Fi's point, kind of being a leader and just basically having that mentality like we're not going to lose tonight.
I don't really know what the question is.
What are your thoughts on Herb? I mean, we're on.
I thought he had a really good game. I mean, to me, Herb never really does anything that's like super out of the ordinary for me. The most out of the ordinary thing was the 3-4-5 from behind the arc. But other than that, I thought it was just like a regular Herb game. Like I didn't really, you know. Again, he's one of them people. It's kind of like Anthony Davis. Like you might look up Anthony Davis might have fucking 8 blocks,
and you would be like, "Damn, we have points for Herb."
Say again,
23 points for Herb. That's a lot, man. I mean, he's been scoring. He's averaging 10 a night, but I mean, 23. Yeah. That's got to be his highest scoring game this year, huh?
Yo, you know what's even crazier than that? $500,000. You no, like you don't this yo $500,000.
Yo, okay.
I think they got games you gotta play anyway. Shit.
I think they got 50K off this game. If you're talking money, they got 50K just for winning this game. I thought one play that was really interesting was all right, Herb's like it's late in the game. They're making a run. Malik Monk's trying to take a three. Herb is in help side, contested three, but doesn't run past Malik. Malik thinks he's gone and he blocks the shot. Like Those type plays is like you can't teach half that. Like no matter what, like you think he's gone, but he's almost like I don't know, one of the superheroes that can just vanish. Like dog, you can just come right, boom, I'm still here. Yeah. I think like that guy, I don't know, bro. He might be a superhero. He might be a black superhero. I don't know what black superhero he is, but he might be that.
Chris, before we get to you, make sure you hit that like button. Smash that like button. Sorry, Lito. CJ, playing his role tonight. What did you see from him? Once again, you know, momentum shots that he hit when, you know, Sacramento was making a run, you saw CJ floater or CJ step back. Like, he was just fantastic tonight, I thought, throughout the entire game.
He played like the stabilizer that I think he's supposed to be when the team is healthy. Right. I mean, there are nights and maybe certain matchups where CJ will be forced to do maybe more heavy lifting. But, you know, it got to a point to where the Pelicans just had too many weapons for Sacramento or what Sacramento had available to have to deal with. They had to deal with living with a bad decision. And there were moments where, you know, late in the fourth quarter, CJ maybe, you know, he got back into, you know, some of his dribbling bag and, you know, he probably, you know, stopped the flow of the offense. But for a good majority part of that game, he was running offense, one dribble, mm-hmm. two dribbles, taking the shot that was there, making the right play, finding, running the flow of the offense, passing up maybe shots that I wouldn't have been mad at him shooting to get the ball over to Jonas, just doing the veteran shit. Right. I mean, and he played like a leader. And he did it, I think, on both sides of the floor. Anytime he was matched up against Fox, I think he did a really solid job of guarding a guy like De'Aaron. You know, for all the flack that we give CJ about what he can't do defensively, I think he did a solid job when he was, you know, forced to be out there. Had some big rebounds, and when he didn't have rebounds in them smaller lineups, he had some. He tapped the basketball over to, you know, the person that, you know, which is what Larry Nance is, you know, asked for quite often. But when Zion, in this case, in the small lineup, he boxes out, I think it was Sabonis or whoever it was, it's CJ's job to go in there and either grab the rebound or tap it over to Zion. Yep. He did it. They ended up corralling the ball. So CJ was solid. He stabilized everything. I think he had a really good game. I don't think the numbers really show, giving complete credit for the kind of game he had.
Yeah. Five, Lito and Chris talked about this at halftime. Well, what did you think of, I'm not necessarily Dyson Daniels or Jordan Hawkins, but what did you think of Jordan Hawkins getting a DNP tonight?
I mean, this is a part of the good problems that I think this team will have if healthy, right? You got some tough decisions that you have to make. I wouldn't say that like this was like a Jordan Hawkins game. Now, I would have loved to see him play, but I can see how he didn't get minutes. Like, You're going to take minutes from Trey Murphy, maybe some of the Najee music, but Najee was playing well. Jose was playing well. So do you just take them off the floor? Like, this is a part of the thing that he'll have to kind of go with, right? Like, I mean, Willie Green finally gets a healthy team, somewhat of a healthy team.
Yep.
Now you'll see what decisions he'll make. Hell, Jordan, if I'm him, like, you kind of got to be lucky because you're like one of the first rookies to get run like this. Because in previous years, cats wasn't getting run like this. They didn't play defense. They didn't do certain things. Now, I think he can play, but I mean, this kind of follows the script that Willie Green kind of had.
Yeah. I think Willie had a really I think Willie coached his ass off. I want to give him some credit. I think Kim and that staff did a really good job, and Willie did a really good job of managing the game, which is, I think, in my opinion, for me, my biggest criticism is his ability to manage certain games and games like this. He did a really good job of
that. And one of the moves I actually liked was that when Zion like was just bad in the fourth quarter, he actually sat him for an extended period of time and played Jonas. And Jonas, you know, I thought was pretty good there down the stretch. Lito, what did you think of Trey tonight? Trey's he's gonna get a lot of money. Holy shit. He's good. He's just good.
I mean, he was what I expect. He's what I expect him to be. He's a real deal. 3 for 8 from three. I think he had 16 points. He had 2 rebounds, which, you know, we talked about that, and he's got to be better at that. But overall, man, he was good. The only thing I didn't like was the hesitation on his threes. Like, I don't know why he started hesitating. Like, just shoot the ball, bro. Like, I don't care. The other thing too, I want him to screen for B.I. It was a couple times tonight where I wanted Trey to be the screener. Thought it would have opened up more variance in the offense. But I mean, regardless, you win the game. But I think that's a wrinkle that they could add moving forward. Because it's generally like either Jonas or Zion screening for B.I. But if Trey were the screener, right, you bring in, I think, I can't remember who was guarding Trey at the time, but you bring him on the B.I.'s guy. B.I. has – it's a mismatch all around.
They did that twice, Lito, when Trey screened for Zion tonight. They got both wide open looks. He just simply just go screened it. Zion attacked, and they just left Trey Murphy wide open. I mean, he missed them both, but they're both, like, really good looks. Chaz, speaking of Zion – have you heard about the comments on TNT from Charles Barkley and what they said, that he looks out of shape and things like that? What did you think? What did you think of his just overall performance tonight?
I missed a lot of the first quarter, but I mean, as far as him being out of shape, I think water's wet. Motherfucker ain't playing 10 months. Don't play 5-on-5 in the offseason. I don't really. Charles ain't saying nothing he ain't said before. Yeah, coming from Charles Barkley, like MVP, you know, this a different type of dude in his day. You got to, you know, I know the Shaq ain't say nothing, so I thought that was interesting because Shaq is more like Zion, I guess, to Chris's point, yeah. You know. But I thought overall it was all right. I think I didn't like some of the defense in the first half from what I did see from the second quarter. I thought the defense in the second half was a lot better. One play in particular stood out. I thought it was some people could argue it was bad or good. I thought it was bad. It was a bad take foul on Fox. 1-on-3 in transition. Yeah. He took the foul. He had 3 fouls. So in the next play, he was scared to foul. So he let Fox just drive right past him, give up the layup. And I'm like, you probably shouldn't have taken that foul. But overall, as far as shooting, I would like to see more attempts. But again, I didn't really see how the game started. I don't know if they was like kind of phasing them out.
They were pretty slow. It was pretty sluggish there. Like, they got down 14, right? Early in the first quarter. The Kings' largest lead was 14 there in the first quarter. I mean,
yeah.
Like Sacramento had 30 points, like with 4 minutes left in the first quarter.
15.
Nah. 15. One thing I did
15,
like.
Chris. Damn.
One thing I did like is the 2 3-point attempts. I really did like that, but damn, no free throws.
He had to take one emergency one, but he did take one early in the first half. He had to take an emergency one on the second one. But Yeah, I mean,
but he a basketball player, bro. You have to shoot him. Like have to shoot him.
At least two.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like his act. What'd you think of his activity tonight, Jarrett? I felt like he got off to a really slow start, and that just kind of phased him out. He woke up a little bit there in the third quarter, but like Willie went with Jonas for an extended period of time there in the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, hell, it was good to see Willie just say, all right, I'm going to go with the high hand no matter who the star is. Right. I think they're always sluggish at the beginning. I didn't think they, to be honest, I thought this was about to be a blowout. When I saw that the first 5 minutes, was, no activity. If it wasn't for Jose and Najee, the trajectory of this game would be so different. I just didn't think they had it. And I think that kind of gave them somewhat of an energy boost, and they got back into the game. But that's the problem. They don't go through Zion to start a game, right? That's never their MO. It's always a through Brandon or a CJ or I wouldn't even say Jonas at times, but it's never Zion. And I always thought that would be an issue because that's the guy that creates a ton of advantage. If you give him the ball first and he gets somebody in foul trouble, then again, the trajectory of the game changes. You're at an advantage at all times. But I think that's a big problem. Maybe he needs to get warmed up. Maybe he needs to get into the flow of a game. I don't know personally, but I think that needs to change.
Hey, Lito, what do you think of this comment from Mont Dog? I don't understand why Zion doesn't shoot. He doesn't have a bad shot for him. He actually can naturally shoot. He's just stubborn and wants to play a certain way. But what are your thoughts on that?
Chris, you have some?
I want Justin to repeat the brother's name that asked the question.
Mont Dog.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I mean, if I had to answer that question, bro, I'd be on the coaching staff. I don't know why he doesn't shoot. I feel like Willie has implemented certain things, and from day one in media day, saying he would play a certain way and other people would play a certain way. And you have Borrego now on the staff who has a lot of creativity and variance in his offense, and it kind of requires you to do certain things. I don't know, man. I retweeted the thing yesterday of him taking pull-up jumpers and turnaround middies and understand, and that it looked like great shots all around. You cannot, again, same thing I said for Brandon yesterday, I'm going to say for him today, you cannot have a game where one of your best players cannot or does not shoot a three-pointer. It is simply he didn't have a good game today. I mean, his stats weren't great. He certainly didn't have a good game for my parlay, if I'm gonna be honest. But he had 6 rebounds tonight? Yeah, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. I mean, the passing was well. He had 3 steals. Look, Charles and Kenny were saying shit that was blatantly obvious to anybody who watches basketball. I mean, I don't know how that jumps out at anybody as something that is I don't even feel like that was an egregious comment. They saying shit that he needs for his health. He has to get in shape, dog. He has the opportunity to be very special, and squandering that opportunity by either lack of discipline or lack of focus, it's something that he gonna look back on and be very disappointed, I think, because he can do some things that a lot of people in the league can't do. And he's strictly just playing off talent right now. And at some point, that's gonna catch up with you.
Yeah. Before we get to Chaz, make sure you hit that like button. Chaz, who do we match up better with in the final four, Suns or Lakers?
I think the Lakers, because the Lakers bad. But then again, the Lakers...
Both teams.
But LeBron looked like fucking LeBron. Now, the Suns ain't bad at all. Have you seen the Suns lately? Suns on a fucking other planet. I think
our matchup with the Suns. I don't know why. I just like our matchup. I really like our matchup.
Oh, man. You know what? Herb has covered KD pretty well. I only seen him.
Who would guard Zion? Who's Phoenix throwing on Zion?
I don't know. Fucking Bol Bol or something.
Nurkic against Jonas. I kind of like the Suns.
I'm gonna go with the Lakers because the Lakers don't shoot a ton of threes. And Anthony Davis look like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with AD these days, but he's still AD, but he's known for a stinker or two.
Corbin, we talked about this in the first like 12 minutes of the show, so that's why
Justin, I got a question. Yeah. Can somebody? I want to hear this answer to this. Anybody who wants to pick.
Yeah, I saw somebody talk about that the other day, I heard someone talk about that the other day, and it really was a good question. I think even if Zion was taken, like before tonight, Zion was 50% on like three threes this season, right? So let's say Zion took about 2-3 threes a game. No one's ever going to guard that shot. It's just like having Trey Murphy out there. It's like you just have to make them pay for giving you that much space. It's not really going to change how you defend it. He would have to come out and make all three, and then after that, maybe someone would start to guard him a little bit. But other than that, I don't really think it would change much. It's just good to make defenses pay for giving you that much space. But Giannis takes threes, but no one's guarding Giannis's three.
Yeah, you count that as a win. Sorry, Five.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I just think like the ability to take it. Like, you know, when cats were, let's say 10 games ago and Brandon wouldn't shoot a three, like, you know, you just knew he wasn't going to do it. So why even go out there? That creates less space for the offensive player when you just don't shoot it. Right. If you just were to shoot it, in your mind, you're like, oh, he may not make this shit. But if he does make one, it's like, ah, well, that's another thing we got to worry about. And then I think just attempting the three-pointers allows him to shoot more middies. I think that's the shot that I really want him to shoot, right? If you're comfortable shooting a three, the mid-range is just a layup at that point, right?
Especially like off the glass.
Yeah.
He had one tonight. Like, it wasn't at the rim, but like AD talked about, it's kind of like a little just – little hook, and you just put it right in. Pause,
bro.
That was insane. That was
crazy.
that was insane.
Chris, who would you rather match up with, Suns or Lakers?
I don't think it's close. I think it's the Suns.
Why?
Man, I because they're not like I think both teams have they have superstar offensive talent available. Now with the Suns, you know, their two guys are gonna, you know, they're gonna score their points in different ways. They'll probably score their points more from the perimeter, but I think it's more of a team thing. Like the Lakers have, from a matchup perspective, more bigger wings to throw at Zion and Brandon. Like you got to remember, like Vanderbilt's back. Like he had missed a good portion of the season, so Vanderbilt. You got Rui, you got Taurean Prince, you got LeBron James, you got, you know, just a bunch of, I don't know if you want to throw Cam Reddish in there, but you got a bunch of larger wings that you can throw out there at both of those guys on the perimeter. And then you got the ultimate eraser at the rim with AD. And then I think they have ironically a combination of talents defensively that give Zion the most problems and give Brandon the most problems. I don't know how they guard both, with both and CJ. You know what I'm saying? But I think I would say, especially in a neutral type of situation where you gotta imagine if the Lakers advance, it's gonna be it's gonna feel like a home game to them, to the amount of fans that's gonna be in there rooting for them as well. I would say it's the Suns. I mean, they don't like you tell me not just who's guarding Zion, but who's guarding Brandon.
Consistent. I didn't even realize Bill was out. Bill been out since
It's the Suns.
Hey, Five. I just saw this comment. I wanted to bring it up. Damn it, where is it? All right, here we go. What'd you think about that tonight? Najee,
bro.
Like, how did he not get ejected, by the way? Like,
I don't know.
Close fist to the head?
I think it's kind of pussyfied. Throw him out for that. Like, I mean, connect.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Najee's just being Najee. As we've been told before, he is a guy.
Najee shared our post and called the dude a pussy.
Oh, damn.
It's Najee being Najee. I mean,
I definitely hope we don't play the Suns now. But last time Pelican did that motherfucker, Booker had like 60-some points. God damn.
Oh, I wanted to talk about, you know, those two matchups. I think Chris makes a great point about just the Lakers and their depth and the things that'll give, you know, the Pelicans problems, which is, and I don't think like Sacramento, right? Like they don't have a lot of wings that can guard Brandon and Zion. And you can see like, although Zion didn't have a great game, he could have had one. Like he had cooked Harrison Barnes twice. Like it would have been nothing for him just to try to do that, like, you know, for a third time. The Suns, the only thing I think about is the problem of the Pelicans scoring just as much as the Suns. That's the only thing I really think about. If say KD gets on a heater, Booker is at the one now and he's been playing really well. Like, how do you guard that? You're gonna need, you know, a person and a half just to guard Book and KD. If the others are lighting it up, then oh shit. But they don't have a lot of others. So I mean, if you can just get play out of the bench, right? If the bench can be modest for the Pelicans, I can see you getting a dub there.
Good points. Lito, before we'll get in the last segment here, make sure you hit that like button and subscribe. Lito, we got to talk about Jose and Najee because I thought they came in and kind of had an important run there late in the first, early in the second quarter. What did you see? You know, Jose got him again with the GTA, and then I felt like Najee and Jose just kind of changed the game tonight early there in the first half. Is he muted?
Well, I didn't know who that was for.
Yeah,
that was for Lito.
Looked up. Oh, okay. Yeah,
my fault.
Go ahead, Lito.
I was saying the GTA is cool, but most importantly, he made two threes. The GTA is like it's a novelty thing, right? But like the substance is the threes. He had what three rebounds, two assists. He had two blocks, two steals. Those are the things that are important. And I think, you know, looking at the comments from the chat, the show me and Chris did to Twitter, people were surprised that Hawkins wasn't the first guy off the bench. And I really got to give Willie credit for going with Najee and Jose because they literally changed the game around. Like they literally injected energy and emotion into the game when we were really lax. There was no real swing of anything going on. You kind of were just at Sacramento's mercy. And then eventually you put Trey in the game and you turn the whole first quarter around.
Chris, I was going to add. Okay, go ahead.
I actually have numbers in regards to those two being in the game and what it did to change things a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
So Jose and Najee both were in the game, it looks like, at the 508 mark. Mm-hmm. 508 mark, the score was 26-13 at that point. By the time they both exited out of the game, the score was 43-37.
Damn.
There's the impact. Go ahead.
I mean, shit. What more you need to hear?
It's. I don't know if it's. I'm not gonna say it's matchup dependent, but it sometimes feels that way. But you have to know what matchups these guys can thrive in. I'm not saying like they should be the sixth man off the. I think it's also like the Pelicans have like this weird thing. They have like, I don't know if they're playing buddy basketball. I'm not gonna say that, but like they have like duos. Like multiple duos. You can look at Dyson and Herb. You can look at Najee and Jose. You can look at Trey and Zion. You can look at CJ and Jonas. Like, it's like these guys almost have like these dual-like connections with each other, pause, on the court. And you're like, yo, all right, you have to play to those strengths. You see what guys work well together. Let's put them out there on the court and run some action for those guys and allow them to play off each other and feel in the void around them. I think that's huge. That bodes well for a relationship. Like, yo, you want to be on the court with guys you kind of have a relationship. That makes everything a little bit better. I think guys like Herb and Trey, they can kind of fit with everybody, right? They can pause again. They can play around everybody, right? Like, I think that's the beauty of this team, figuring out who plays well at the same time.
Yeah. Chaz, do you think Jordan Hawkins will get any run in either the Final Four and if they make it to the championship? Like, what situation would you need him in?
Man, I just hate talking about this tournament like a real thing. I really do. It's so insulting to me. It's regular season games. Like, I just saw the Bulls game. So yes, I think Jordan Hawkins should get minutes. I do think you should invest heavily into your talented 14th pick. Like, it's just, yeah, you know, it's this shit here. I just hate when they do this type of stuff.
So I guess you're basically saying stunting his growth by just not playing him in these.
I mean, look,
because he could benefit from these, you know, high leverage games. Listen, it's intense. It's playoff atmosphere. You would think you want to get your rookie out there to get him some experience. Like, I definitely see that kind of angle as well.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it depends on what the goal is. If you really after the 500, it's gonna be some situations where Jordan helps you probably more than one of the other guys. If you just trying to go with someone you totally trust, I would think Willie Green would probably just go with Jose. But overall, I watch every game. I just saw the Chicago game. I just saw the Spurs game. I just saw the game for that. And truthfully, I think this is stupid. I think it's fucking stupid. But I'm going to treat it because I look at it like a regular season game. Right. But if it was a playoff thing, I think Willie Green would trust Jose more regardless of if he should play Hawkins. But I would like to see Hawkins.
Chris, to Dyson only getting 6 minutes tonight, were you surprised by that?
No, I think him and Hawkins were in the same like kind of category, right? Like, Dyson's spectacular on one side of the floor and isn't good on the other. And Hawkins is spectacular or really good on one side of the floor at what he does well and isn't good at the other. So, you know, I think it depends on what you need, like, in a particular moment throughout a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be times, like, if I'm playing the Lakers, Hawkins is going to be on the floor because they're coming out in larger lineups. And if you move the basketball, having these guys scramble without having a bunch of perimeter players that are, you know, scrappy guys, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I want a guy like Hawkins out there running these dudes out on screens. I want him out there running Devin Booker out on screens or running Kevin Durant, having these dudes having to rotate and over-rotate and having to, you know, like, and especially in a game against like Phoenix, for example, you know that they're going to put up threes. I mean, it should be matchup based to me. Like, tonight made sense because your goal was to disrupt the people that had the basketball in their head. You wanted to disrupt De'Aaron Fox. You wanted to disrupt Malik Monk. And they live with a lot of Sabonis shit, to be honest. For better or for worse, they live with what Sabonis was doing. But their goal was to disrupt a lot of different elbow actions and guard penetration. That's what they seem to do. So if that's the case, The minutes that Dyson got, it mattered. Like, the minutes that Najee got matter. Jose made the most of his minutes. But when you play the Lakers, it's going to be, like, if you play the Lakers, it's totally different because you're not being attacked in that way. So you may need to do, you know, extra spacer out there with all those people clogging the paint for you defensively, and just the bigger, you know, arsenal of dudes that are out there attacking you on the other side of the floor.
Yeah. Lito, let's close it out with JV. What did you think of him tonight? Also, him getting some crunch time minutes and being pretty successful in those lineups. What did you like from him tonight?
Man, JV is JV, man. He played well. He played well against Sabonis all the time. I mean, JV can always dominate smaller matchups if you get him involved. It's just the last part of that sentence with the getting him involved part. It was a couple of times tonight where he was kind of frustrated actually that he didn't get the looks he was looking for because he had Sabonis sealed and either pass came late or they didn't pass it to him at all. And he just kind of like, you know, shook his head and
yeah. Yes, he had like six, him and Zion had combined 12 attempts going into the half. I think they had six each. It's kind of like, ah, shit.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you look at it, he only finished with 11 shots. Like, and he was 7-for-11. Yeah, I mean, he was efficient as hell. And he, again, had a double-double. JV didn't attempt any threes tonight, which I'm fine with because, like, him taking threes is situational for me anyway. I mean, if he's on a perimeter and they leave him, cool. But, you know, if he's going to – if he can take advantage of the defense and do his thing on a block, then I'm cool with that. Justin, I know we're talking about JV, but I did want to talk about CJ.
Yeah, go ahead. You closed it out with CJ. Go ahead.
I thought CJ was awesome, man. I thought CJ played a very efficient game. I mean, he had 7 assists, 17 points. He didn't over dribble at all. He was – basketball was moving. He hit some very timely shots. At one point, he had a run going where he hit a couple middies. He hit a three. He hit a step back. He kind of kept us alive when we got into this – we fell into this breakdown of ISO ball for whatever reason. That was a rough stretch too. The ISO ball stretch for the Pels. You know what I'm saying? But man, shout out to CJ, shout out to Jonas, shout out to Brandon, man. Brandon is in playoff mode tonight. So,
well, good. Pelicans going to Vegas. So that means they play Thursday night of the winner of the Suns and Lakers game that's happening tomorrow. Make sure you hit that like button. Appreciate y'all pulling up, and we are going to hear from DraftKings Sportsbook.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
See y'all Thursday night.
Fucking beam.
Oh.